Chapter 1. Welcome to New York City. "Is this your first trip to New York?" asked the man sitting next to me on the plane. He had noticed that I was reading a guidebook of the city. "Yes, it is," I answered. "I've always wanted to go there." The man's name was George, and he was very friendly. He was from New York and worked as the chief editor of the Arts and Leisure section for the New York Times, the city's most prestigious newspaper. He told me that he was returning from visiting a friend who lived in Madrid. We talked for the rest of the flight, and he told me a lot of interesting things about New York that weren't in my guidebook. I told him that I really appreciated all the information he was giving me. I explained that I wanted to feel what it was like to live in New York and to meet real New Yorkers. George laughed. "What do you think a real New Yorker is?" he asked. "Someone like you or my father," I replied. "He was born and grew up there." "Well, I grew up there, but I wasn't born there," George said. "I was born in Athens." George explained that his parents were from Greece. Shortly after he was born, they moved to New York City. "My father worked very hard," George said. "First, he bought a small fruit store in the Bronx and made it popular. Then he sold it and bought a bigger one. After that store became successful, he sold it too and bought an even bigger one. Now he's got an enormous fruit market in Queens. He's the definition of a real New Yorker." People from different races and cultures have been coming to New York to make a better life for themselves since the city was founded. It has always had a mixture of cultures and religions. You'll see that there are people there from every part of the world, and they're all real New Yorkers. That includes your friend Jason, who has been in the city for less than a year. He moved there to live his dream. That makes him a New Yorker. I guess that's the main reason why it's such a special place. While we were waiting for our luggage, George asked me how I planned to get to my friend's apartment. I told him that I was planning to take a bus into the city and then call my friend to come and get me. "That could take a long time," George said. "Kennedy Airport is very far from the center of the city, and you'll probably have to wait some time for a bus." "I've got a private limousine waiting for me. I'd be very happy to take you to your friend's apartment." "Thank you, but you've already been enough help," I replied. "I don't mind taking the bus."
"Don't be silly," said George. "A lot of people think that New Yorkers aren't friendly."
"Maybe it's because we're always in such a hurry.
I want to prove to you that we actually are."
I accepted. When I saw the limousine, I knew that I'd made the right choice. It was enormous, and I felt like a movie star sitting in it. During the drive, George told me about interesting places that weren't in my guidebook, including his favourite pizza shop, and made a list of them for me. Suddenly, I saw the New York skyline outlined in the early evening sky with all the buildings lit up, including the Empire State Building. It's hard for me to describe what I felt at that moment. It was beautiful.
"I'm jealous," George said.
"Why?"
I asked, surprised. "I love and appreciate this city," he explained, "but I've never had the look of wonder in my eyes that you've got now. I guess that it's because I grew up here and I'm accustomed to it."
I tried to look at everything we passed as we drove through the streets of Manhattan. Just before reaching Jason's apartment, we passed through Times Square. I was speechless. There were so many people and lights and traffic. It had an energy I've never felt before or since. It was like seeing your favorite movie star in person. I had seen these streets so many times in the movies, and now I was really here. A few blocks later, the limousine stopped in front of Jason's apartment building. George helped me with my bags while I rang my friend's buzzer. Seconds later, Jason appeared at the door to welcome me, and I introduced him to George. They shook hands.
"Well, I need to go now," George said. "My wife will get worried if I'm late."
"Thank you so much for everything," I said. "You've given me a wonderful introduction to the city."
"You're very welcome," he replied.
Here's the list of the places that I mentioned and my personal card. Don't hesitate to call if you need something. I hope you have a lot of fun during your stay. Goodbye. George got into his limousine and the car drove away. Jason turned to me with a smile on his face. Well, you really know how to travel in style, he said. I told Jason how I had met George as we carried my two heavy suitcases up to his fourth-story walk-up. That means that his apartment was on the fourth floor and there was no elevator. After resting from the exercise, Jason suggested that we take a walk to Times Square, as it was nearby. It sounded perfect. Jason's apartment was on 46th Street, between 9th and 10th Avenues. It's very easy to get around Manhattan because most of the streets and avenues are numbered. The streets go north-south and increase in number as you go north. The avenues go east-west and increase in number as you go west. This way of planning a city is called a grid system. Barcelona has the same thing in L'Eixample, El Ensanche, only the streets aren't numbered there. The only part of Manhattan that isn't in a grid system is the most southern part. That's where the original settlement was located. A Dutch businessman named Peter Minuit bought the island of Manhattan from the local Native Americans, or Indians as they were called in those days, for 60 guilders, 600 euros today, in 1626. Gradually the settlement became a city, and in the early 1800s the grid system was established to give some sense of order to its expansion. This neighbourhood is called Hell's Kitchen, Jason said as we walked along. Hell's Kitchen? I exclaimed. This is where my father was born and grew up. He told me that it was a very tough neighbourhood because it was very near the piers where the ships used to arrive and there were a lot of gangs in the area. It doesn't look so dangerous now. That's because the piers aren't used anymore, Jason explained. Many of the old buildings have also been renovated. It's a much more expensive neighbourhood now. I guess that it's changed a lot, I said. Well, there's one thing that hasn't changed, Jason said. A lot of actors and dancers still live here, like they used to when your dad was growing up. This particular street has always been called Dancer's Row. Why is that? I asked. Hell's Kitchen is just west of Times Square, replied Jason. It's much more convenient to live a few streets away from the theatre district than to take a 40-minute subway ride to get here. If I've got any auditions while you're here, you'll understand. Just then, we arrived at Times Square. I've returned to Times Square many times since then, and I always feel the same energy and vitality. I live in Madrid and have often been to London, but I've never seen so many different kinds of people walking past me. It seemed like the whole world was condensed into this square. George was right. People from all over the world lived here. There was so much to look at. There were enormous advertisements everywhere. To my right stood the building where the ball comes down during the countdown to midnight on New Year's Eve, just as in the Puerta del Sol in Madrid. There were Broadway theatres all around me, with bright marquees advertising the shows that were playing in them. We stopped to listen to a really good jazz saxophonist on one street, and then stopped to listen to a man playing the bagpipes, dressed in traditional Scottish clothes, kilt included, on the next street. Eventually, we entered a piano bar to have a drink and to talk. As the piano player sang songs from famous Broadway musicals, Jason and I told each other everything that we had done in the past 2 years. We didn't get very far, because I suddenly felt very tired. I think that we'd better get you home and into bed, Jason said. I'm sorry, I replied. It must be the change in time zones. I guess I'm still on Madrid time, and it's 3 a.m. there. That's okay. You need your sleep, said Jason. We're going to have a full day tomorrow. We've already got plans for tomorrow? I asked. Of course we do, replied Jason. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. We've got a parade to go to in the morning and a dinner in the evening.